And now, folks, from beautiful downtown San Francisco, where it smells of Ode to Poo-Poo, we present the Drake and Scott Podcast.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. I gotta wipe my nipple at all the ships at sea. It's Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we're the best podcast you're not listening to. We talk about anything and everything on this show, and if you aren't offended in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
Or you're not listening because you're distracted by what I know is about to come up.
What is about to come up?
Your little reference there. Okay. To nipple wiping. It's not what you people think it is. It's much... much worse.
We are coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. Home base is radioslot.com. You can also hear us on Spotify, full show archive at briandrakebooks.com. Thank you for listening wherever you are. I took us off of Rumble because they suck.
Well, is it really them, or is it the...
They wanted, you know, they would click on our show, listen for 2 minutes, realize it's not a video, and then click off. And it's like, come on, you people, you're going to play it in the background anyway. You're not going to sit for 45 minutes and watch guys sitting around a table, but I guess that's what they expect, so...
We have become a visual culture.
I guess, yeah. And so I'm very disappointed in Rumble.
And you and I were not made for visuals.
No, not at all. I'm actually kind of disappointed in our Spotify listeners, too. You know, we don't ask anything of you people. We don't beg you to like and subscribe and post and share, et cetera, et cetera. Because I was thinking, you know, you might do it anyway, just because. But you're not.
Yeah.
And worse, you know, Spotify, I don't want to say they're shadow banning us, but for some people that have followed us for a while, they're telling me that the show is no longer showing up on their feed when there's a new episode. So,
oh yeah, they're quiet quitting us.
So it's like, come on, you people. Like, share, subscribe. Tell people about us.
Send a letter to your congressman.
Unless we really suck that bad. I don't know.
When you write your congressman, send him a link.
Today, we have a UFC lunkhead who says Trump is the Antichrist because he read the Bible. Bill Gates says...
Did he, though?
Yeah.
He read it?
He read Revelation, anyway. Or a certain section of Revelation.
He read a verse or a couple of verses. I'm gonna hold out on whether he read the whole thing.
Yeah, you'll like that one. Bill Gates says the climate ain't changing no way, and the National Guard may be going hot in January. Emma Watson says some weird stuff.
No.
Yeah, because she's kind of weird herself. But we always start with a crazy on the way, silly things that happen to us on the day of the show or prior to recording. And we got a couple today, and
I had several options.
Yeah,
and they have been outdone by our most recent experience.
Right. Oh, that's right, and it's a shared experience.
Right before we walked in the building.
Yeah, we're doing our pre-show meeting, and we do it outside so we can smoke cigars, and we sit under a tree, a very big tree. And there were some crows hanging around today.
There were.
And they decided to...
They were more than hanging around.
That's, yeah, yeah. They decided to relieve themselves at just the right moment. And they nailed Scott on his shirt, hence the I gotta wipe my nipple reference. And they got my cigar. I'm almost dead center on my cigar.
Which is, I mean, that's some pretty good talent. If you can drop stuff exactly where you want to drop it.
Yeah,
that's a talented crow.
Yeah, that, and I was like, you know, I think I need to bring the shotgun next week, and we need to blast some crows next time.
Well, I'm calling them the Karma Crow. At least yours was the Karma Crow, because you thought it was so funny when they got me. And I get up and it's like, oh man, now I got to go wipe my nipple. And he's like, oh, that's going on the show. No, everybody's going to think it means something it doesn't mean, you know? And so then I come out and I'm all cleaned up finally. And we're sitting there for a couple more minutes and bam.
Yeah, right.
Karma Crow got you worse.
Got my cigar and part of my hand, and then I cleaned that off, and then I realized they got another part of my jeans toward the bottom cuff, and
it was more of a spray.
Yeah, I let that one sit.
Because that's what you get for laughing at me.
That's right.
So it's been a crappy morning.
Now I have another crazy on the way to talk about. So a couple weeks ago, somebody broke one of the windows on my car, and we got it fixed, and the police came out, took a report, and everything like that.
Barely, because you don't want to talk to the police because you're anti-police.
I'm not anti-police. I just don't want to interact with the police.
I love you. Yeah. Police. Uh-huh. All of you.
Uh-huh. So insurance took care of everything, and everything's fine. Everything's done. It's all fixed. Car's running great.
You thought.
Yes. And then Friday night, Halloween night, actually, I'm home from work. It's after 8 o'clock. I'm out with my cigar, leaning against the car, just kind of enjoying all the activity of all the kids walking back and forth and all the ghosts and goblins in various costumes. And I notice on a street lamp at the end of the street, there are these blinking red lights and what looks like two cameras aimed down either street. So the corner kind of branches off like a V.
Yeah.
And we got one camera going down one street, one going down the other.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, no, those can't be cameras. I've never seen them there before. So I go over and I get a closer look, and sure enough, they are cameras. And I take a picture, and I think, you know, this doggone city, you know, they don't have enough cops. They won't deal with the people that they know are the problem. So now they're going to put us all under surveillance. And I'm thinking, I'm going to down to the police department on Saturday. I'm going to say, what the heck is this? And blah, 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 blah. I want to file a complaint. It's like, we're under surveillance enough as it is. We carry these things in our pockets, these phones, and they're watching and listening. And my wife is rolling her eyes. It's like, you idiot. And it's like, no, I'm, rah, 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 you know, because I was steamed. But then Saturday morning, as I'm about to make the trek, I'm just driving around the neighborhood. And then a couple of blocks, just increasing the search pattern. And I noticed that no other streetlights have these cameras on them. So I thought, well, wait a minute.
It's a conspiracy.
No. I'm thinking to myself, no, wait a minute.
They're after you.
No, they're not. I said, you know, the only answer, if it's not a city thing, is that the neighbor that is in the house closest to that particular street lamp, he put them up. And he has the ability to do so because he works for PG&E. He parks his bucket truck in the driveway every day. So he has that bucket.
You got quite the conspiracy going on.
I know,
here.
But if he's going to get up that high to the very top of the street lamp where these cameras are, he would use his truck to do so.
Yeah, he's got to get permission from the city.
That's my next thing. It's like, now I can say, hey, somebody has put surveillance cameras on city property, and maybe you need to do something here. So
rather than protect your vehicle, you want to protect your identity. Your privacy.
Well, no, the cameras aren't aimed at the house. And
but the street where your car is, I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, all I got to do there is be a little more careful with my handguns, you know, make sure they're concealed properly in a carrying case that is not obviously a gun case. You know?
You're so selective in the stuff you want. You don't want to deal with the cops because you don't want them to give you your information. But
no, because the cops look for reasons to arrest you. Even with every interaction, I don't care what it is.
You want your car taken care of, but you don't want any videos on them.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? Someone comes around, smashes the window, and runs away. I mean, there's really not much you can do there.
I'm going to just start praying for you because you're obviously in conflict. You can't decide what you want, what you don't want.
Well, all I know is now I may have to go over to the house and say, hey, did you put those cameras up, and ask them why. And where they aimed, and, you know.
You're going to go to somebody else's house and knock on the door.
Well, I don't want to because this guy is like 6 foot, and he's ripped, and he's married to this 5 foot nothing Colombian firecracker, and I don't want to deal with her either. So,
suggestion? Your lead question, rather than did you put up those cameras?
Uh-huh.
Hey, have you seen the cameras? Do you know anything about that?
Well, yeah, that's probably how
What do you think about those?
It's right? Probably how I would go about it.
Just be curious and see what comes out, right?
Yeah, well.
And then let me know when you call the city, because right after that, I'm going to call them and go, oh, thank you so much for putting up the cameras in Livermore. I just love it. Can you do it tomorrow?
No, I know. See, so this fellow that works at PG&E, he's at one end of the street. His boss is at the other end of the street, and I know his boss. His boss is a big Trumper, and we get along great. So I might ask him, hey, what do you think of those over there? And then he can go to...
This is funny. You don't want anybody to know anything about you, but you know everything about the people on your street.
I know everything about everybody in the neighborhood, yes, because I'm always outside. I'm always watching. And, yeah, I can tell you family. I can tell you names. I know their kids. And so
see, now I'm in conflict because I might want to move to that street because it's got cameras now. But then you know everybody and you're going to tell everybody everything.
No, I'm not going to tell
all my information is going to be out there.
I'm not going to tell anybody anything. I just catalog stuff privately.
Okay. Yeah. So like that's any better. Well, good for you. I hope they catch the delinquents.
You can get away with stuff only so long before you finally get caught. So he will do something and get caught for that. I'm really not concerned about the window or anything. It's all fixed.
Yeah.
And
we did just say that we're in a culture of video. We're a visual culture now.
Well, yeah.
I mean, there's cameras more and more places.
Mm-hmm.
I went for the weekend. I went on a trip in I had to fly. We'll get into that because that's a great story too.
Right.
And when I'm checking out of the long-term parking, before I even put my little ticket in or give them my credit card or anything, they say, oh, you've been here for 4 days. This is your amount. I'm like, wait, how do you even know it's me? I look on the screen and it says, license plate, da, da, da. I realize, oh, they got cameras on me when I'm pulling in and now they can track me. So I don't even need this little ticket anymore. They're watching, man.
Yeah.
The man is after us.
I know. So it's, I mean, cameras are cheap. They're small. And I got a buddy who's got them all around his house. He lives in San Jose. Whenever I go over there, I don't ring the doorbell. I just flip off the camera and then he knows I'm there.
You are all over the place, man, when it comes to video cameras, because now you like them.
No.
Yeah. I know you like being able to flip off your buddy in his camera.
Well, okay. And I might have to flip.
I'm going
to
need a full complete list of where cameras are allowed in your world and when they're.
What I might have to do?
Yeah.
Is find out exactly where one of these neighborhood cameras are pointed. And then sometime at 3 o'clock in the morning, just go out in the street and do a little dance. Maybe moon the camera.
I am not going to ask any questions about that. You're going to end up on video. You're going to end up a lot of other places too, just video. Well, we'll watch. We'll see.
Yeah, I'll go viral on YouTube and get a 3-picture deal. That'll be great.
It'll be the Scott Show. We no longer have Drake incarcerated.
Yeah, and they just showed up right after the incident with the car, and it's like,
yeah.
Anyway, that's why I thought it was the city at first.
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, there's not any cameras anywhere else.
So I think the airlines and airports, I think they're using videos more than I thought.
They're using all kinds of things.
Something happened on my trip that was amazing. And I'm full in favor of video. If it had to do with video, I'm totally for it. We'll catch this after the break.
Okay. We are up on a break, so we might as well take it now.
All right, see you in a few.
I can't wait to hear that story. Back after this. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. I forgot. I'm Drake. He's Scott. Ziggy's gone today. He's got one more week as Lahore Vajistan in Harvard. And then Coach is
teaching his class.
Yeah.
On drag.
That's right. And then
and Coach is with him, I think.
Oh, is that where he is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I actually expect Coach to show up any minute now.
Well, that's why he's late, because he was guest teaching.
He's flying back from Harvard, is that it?
Yeah, yeah, he mentioned something in the group chat about drag. And I was like, I always knew he was into drag. So he's probably late because of his flight.
Yeah, because he takes Southwest, doesn't he?
Southwest Airlines. Coach is a card-carrying member. He just loves them to death.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there must be video, because when they see him coming, they make sure his flight's on time and he gets everything he wants. He brags about it all the time, about how Southwest Airlines always takes care of him and never has an issue. And my experience has been totally different.
Mm-hmm. Mine too.
So I flew Alaska.
Right.
Alaska Airlines, where the smart people fly. Okay. It's a free commercial. I'm going to do free commercials for them for a little while because of what they did with me this weekend.
Okay.
All right. So I think they had a video and they knew it was me coming and they're like, oh, he loves us and he doesn't fly Southwest anymore. So we're going to take care of him. So we had booked some flights and there was, I think there were five of us on this flight. We show up and my boarding pass has changed. I'm like, wait, what's going on? I don't even have a boarding, group number like A, B, C, D, whatever. It says something different. It's like, wait, my seat has changed. I get this email and I'm looking it up. I'm like, your seat has been changed to 3D. I'm like, 3D? Is that a commentary on how I look? He's big enough. We're going to call him three dimensional.
Okay. That's your new nickname.
Yeah. My new nickname is 3D.
The Drake and 3D show.
They upgraded me to first class.
Is that right?
Without asking, without anything. They saw me coming. They know I'm a loyal customer and they're a great airlines.
Well, no, what they're trying to do is they understand your problems with the other airline. So they're going the extra mile to make it a comfortable flight. So
they want
to
keep a good customer.
That's right.
So you should have seen the looks on the faces of everybody else that was flying with my wife, my kid, these other friends. Like, you got upgraded to first class. How come we didn't? They're all checking their boarding passes. None of them got moved up. So the moment they start boarding, said first class and priority customers may board now. I was like, see you guys later. That's this wider seat, more leg room. I couldn't even really touch the chair in front of me unless I leaned forward. There was so much leg room. And
oh, wow.
Oh, it was so awesome.
Wow.
I ordered a drink. They brought it me in real glass.
Nice.
With ice and everything. This lady is like catering to us. It was wonderful.
And then
I panicked for a split second. Wait, there's no charging ports here? Wait, come on. Don't do this to me. So I'm asking the guy next to me because I never fly first class, right? I'm not going to spend the money on it. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, are there ports? He's like, oh, yeah, I think it's down here. Blah, blah, blah. He was obviously a professional or whatever. I looked down. Rather than just a USB port, they have a three-prong like wall plug. So I get to plug in my supercharger and charge my phone during the flight. When I got off the flight, my phone was at 100%.
Nice.
It was amazing.
And the rest of your friends and family were at like 13%, right?
Oh, they were like 12 rows back and, whining, complaining. And they all fell asleep, I'm sure, and wouldn't have enjoyed first class. Me, I'm just milking it for everything.
Now, the thing is, once you fly first class, you'll never do anything else again. I can't.
Oh, no. I'm coach all the way because the upgrade is so much money to fly first
but
class.
But it's so worth it, though.
Yeah.
Just to have that experience.
But I think I keep using Alaska all the time. So I'm like a regular customer and, my status is I've gone from whatever tier to the next tier, whatever.
Oh, okay.
And when they looked at like, who are we going to bump up? It's like, ooh, let's bump up the regular. Right. Which I hear they were going to think about doing with Southwest Airlines, but they don't have first class. So no. They can't bump you up to anything.
They can't. No, you can only sit in closer to the front and get on sooner.
No, it's terrible.
Yeah, it is.
So there you go, coach.
If only he was here to respond. So let's go to our first story. I want to bring up this UFC lunkhead here, this Bryce Mitchell, UFC bantamweight known as Thug Nasty. Once a visible supporter of Donald Trump, earlier this year, he attended Trump's second inaugural in D.C. and shared photos, etc. Now, in late 2025, Mitchell has reversed his stance, publicly criticizing the former the president and leaving the MAGA movement. He expressed frustration with Trump's policies, particularly sending taxpayer funds to conflicts abroad and blaming domestic farmers for rising beef prices and blah, blah, blah. Never mind his quote. Because it's just silly. So, like, the first thing for me was he didn't release the Epstein files. That's like they don't exist. Blah, blah, blah. Now they're sending money to Israel and Ukraine, and then it's just insanity. But here's the rest of it. Mitchell also referenced biblical prophecy, informing his opinion about Trump. He cited Revelation 13:3, which describes a figure who was fatally wounded and then healed, admired by the world, and impossible to oppose. Quote, "Now you tell me how bad I think it is. This is really this bad, guys. I want y'all, if you're Christian, I want you all to get into Revelation 13:3, and I want you to read that verse about the Antichrist, about the one who was fatally wounded in the head and then miraculously healed, and the whole world marveled at him and said, quote, no man can make war with him. Yeah, I do think Donald Trump is the beast of Revelation 13:3. Go read it.
Okay, so we have some real problems with this.
I think I got a whole bunch of problems.
This exegesis of the scriptures. Ugh. He was fatally wounded. What, it nicked his ear?
Yeah.
He was going to die from that? I think it'd be more appropriate to say it was Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, hang on a minute.
Because he was fatally wounded.
Yeah, he was. I was going to... I'm sorry to derail things here, but I didn't realize there was video of his Instagram of him actually making this statement. Let's see if I can.
Ooh.
Let's see if I can bring it up.
We could get audio.
We might have audio, yeah.
In our.
But go ahead and
visual culture.
Because I've got to switch over to a different browser here. But go ahead and please to continue with your commentary here about.
Oh, well, it's just, you know, if he got nicked in the ear by a bullet, how do you call that fatal?
It wasn't. It was nowhere near.
That's cutting yourself shaving and saying, oh, I almost died.
Yeah.
Was there poison on the bullet?
I don't know.
Did he get really sick? There's nothing.
Everybody thinks when the mark of the beast happens, I'm just going to go live out in the land, you know, and get away from society. Well, the government's already thought of that, dude. That's why they're spraying Roundup in the waterways. Look at Lake Caddo. Okay. Look at all these rivers and streams.
I don't think that's Trump.
You know, no, it's not. It's this lunkhead UFC guy. Number one, he talks funny. And so right away.
Well, I talk just fine. What you mean?
I'm not with Donald Trump no more.
I don't
support him. I don't like him. I think he's a corrupted leader. And, yeah, it took me a while to come to that conclusion, but I finally am coming to it. I do not like the guy at all. The first thing for me was he didn't release the Epstein files. They're even acting like they didn't exist. And then, of course, they're sending Israel and Ukraine all of our tax dollars, just like the numbnuts before him did. putting America last. And now he's blaming the beef farmers for the price of beef. Hey, I'm not biased, man. He talked a good game. He tricked me. I was fooled. I admit it. Okay, now let me tell you how bad I think this is, though. This is really this bad, guys. I want y'all, if you're a Christian, I want you to get into Revelation 13:3, and I want you to read that verse. Yeah, about the Antichrist, about the one who was fatally wounded in the head. Then he was miraculously healed, and the whole world marveled at him and said, no man can make war with him.
Okay, none of this happened.
Yeah, I do think that
Donald Trump... None of this happened.
Revelation
none of 13, this applies.
3. Yeah, go read it. Go read it. There ain't another man...
Okay.
Can we tell him to go to seminary?
You know, I'm sorry. Of course he's a redneck. And that growling in the background was his dog, by the way.
Yeah, that was weird.
Oh my goodness. So
I love when he says he's a corrupt leader. And I'm thinking to myself, name me a leader. They're all corrupt.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Trump is probably less corrupt and probably not corrupt at all if you really want to go to the extreme.
But I don't think he's any better than anybody else.
I understand. Yeah, there are certain cases you can make. But this, I mean, this guy's wrong just from the get go. I mean, because Trump was not shot in the head. It wasn't a fate. I mean, just give me a break.
He was wrong. He's wrong. All caps. He's avoiding a whole bunch of other verses in his exegesis.
Well, yeah,
there's none righteous. No, not one.
Mm-hmm.
I've read that actually.
Yeah.
Go to Revelation and read. How about you read the rest of the book? You know, there's no way to understand Revelation unless you've read the rest of the book and understand it.
I've never seen a commentary on Revelation that agrees. It's like everybody has their own interpretation of it. And it's in it. And I, you know, having read it myself, it's like, it's one of those books is where, I mean, is there any real definitive interpretation?
It's all allegory. And,
right. So it's like you've got 10 guys with 10 different opinions, and they're probably all right because it's that kind of book.
Well, I mean, let's say this. Not everybody can be right. So I would say most of them are wrong. I would actually say probably none of them are right, because there's no way to take imagery and come up with a concrete answer. Right.
Okay.
Most of the mysteries of Scripture aren't going to be known.
Right. And that one for sure is.
I mean, if you went like a theologian on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you were meant to know the specifics, you would have been given the specific. If you believe in a God that knows all this stuff and he's telling you what you need to know, and he wanted you to know the specifics, he would give you specifics. Instead, he gave us allegory or imagery or a comparison. This is like something.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he gave us.
Right.
So we're not meant to know.
And it kind of lines up with a lot of the other prophetic stuff, like from Daniel. I mean, there's things that you just can't nail down as 100%.
Ask me in 50 years when everything's all said and done for this episode, and mm-hmm. I'll say, well, does it line up? No, it doesn't. But we're already finding stuff that doesn't line up. So, yeah,
so
don't ask me in 50 years. Don't ask me ever. Okay. Go back to UFC. You've obviously taken a few hits to the head.
Yeah, he's been hitting the head a few too many times, yeah.
Yeah. Miraculously healed.
All right, well, on that, we are up on another break.
If Charlie Kirk comes back to life, then I might say, okay, let's look at this a little bit more.
That would. But
and we'll end up finding that that's not true about him either.
But yeah, but Charlie wasn't shot in the head.
It was
in the neck.
Neck, okay.
I mean,
do they differentiate with that back in those days when it was written? Do you differentiate between head and neck in that language when they were writing to whatever?
Well, none of those are questions I can't answer.
That's what I'm saying. And this guy, I mean, whatever you're smoking, smoke some more. It sounds like you're having fun.
I know.
'Cause that's way off.
All right. Back with Bill Gates betraying the climate change movement. Back after this. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. We're still waiting for Coach. He said he would be here. He's 20 minutes late.
Yeah, we're really without Ziggy and Coach.
Yeah. All right.
Coach is probably having trouble changing out of his drag.
Took him his too drag long. Costume, yeah.
You got to unbuckle and unstrap and unbutton.
Yeah.
I mean, and removing the makeup, that takes a while.
That does take a while because it kind of cakes on and dries and... Don't ask me how I know this. All right, Bill Gates, Epic Times. Tech billionaire Bill Gates has recent blog post stating that the doomsday view of environmental and social catastrophe from global warming is wrong appears to mark a significant shift in the debate over climate change. While reiterating the orthodoxy that climate change will have serious consequences and will hurt poor people the most, Gates goes on to say, quote, it will not lead to humanity's demise. People will be able to live and thrive in most places on Earth for the foreseeable future. This blog post written as a message to attendees of the UN Climate Change Conference in Brazil, which begins November 10th. This contrasts with his previous statements on the subject, including his 2021 book, How to Avoid a Climate Disaster, in which he says climate change is one of humanity's greatest challenges and predicts that it will cause more deaths than COVID-19. Gates joins others who are stepping back from dire predictions about rising temperatures attributed to the burning of oil, gas, and coal. Ted Nordhaus, founder of the climate-focused Breakthrough Institute, wrote in 2007, quote, if we continue to burn as much coal and oil as we've been burning, the heating of the earth will cause the sea levels to rise and the Amazon to collapse, and according to scenarios commissioned by the Pentagon, will trigger a series of wars over the basic resources of food and water. But in an August blog post, Nordhaus said, I no longer believe this hyperbole. Yes, the world will continue to warm as long as we keep burning fossil fuels, and sea levels will rise, but the rest, not so much. What's changed?
Well, I think he struggles with the concept of hyperbole.
Hyperbole.
Hyperbole?
Hyperbole.
Oh, okay. I think he understands it as well as I pronounce it.
Okay.
He's clickbaiting. He's just trying to get more attention. He blog this, and then it turns out to be off, and so he blogs something else. Oh, what I really meant.
Well, but also could it be that now with the Trump administration in charge, we're not pushing this as hard? We're not maybe even not believing it at all, and suddenly these advocates have nowhere to go? So now they're backtracking?
We're back to my common statement of where's dad?
Mm-hmm.
Like just some basic dad observations. Are we burning as much coal as we used to?
I don't know.
Because I see solar panels all over the place.
That's a good point.
Right? We're running nuclear. We're doing all kinds of different alternative electric sources. So mm-hmm. where's...
Perhaps it's changed enough to where it's
I burn no coal.
Yeah.
Right? Does California burn any coal? I mean, I would say I would want to research this, but our coal consumption must have gone down in the last 20 years.
It probably has.
So what's the argument?
I don't know.
Right.
All I know is that the devotees of the climate change religion are having a real crisis of faith right now with one of their, well, two of their biggest proponents.
Well, saying, I just remember
it'll be fine.
They, when you jump and scream up and down, everybody come on, it's an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, global warming. Well, what happened? We had the coldest summer in the history of the Bay Area since 1965 or something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah.
Which personally, I love it. But you can't say global warming anymore.
No, well, that's why they changed it to climate change.
Well, yeah.
Because it's either just warming or cooling.
It's this massive general statement that means nothing.
Mm-hmm. I knew the whole argument was BS. I mean, back in high school, we had the Project Earth Club. It was all these environmentalist wackos running around, and they were screaming about global warming. And then I saw in an old Time magazine the crisis of global cooling. So it's like, what? Well, so which one is it? Are we cooling? Are we going to freeze? Or are we going to burn up? Well, nobody had an answer. And then it comes out as climate change, and I said, okay, this whole thing is bollocks.
Well, it's ironic as it gets, because these people that claim science as this all important metric for what's happening, they say, oh no, do things need to stay the same? Because if you look at the science, the planet's been changing for as long back as we have records of anything.
Yeah.
Like change is the only constant.
Right.
So we're going to have warm times. We're going to have cool times. And overall, are we having that much of a difference? And none of these people have lived long enough to actually know from personal experience. Then they're looking at data, but they look at data that supports their argument,
right,
rather than objective research.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It makes me think of the boy that cries wolf, right?
Yeah, right.
Jumping up and down. Oh, come on, it's an emergency. Has it happened other times? You know, like 2 weeks to slow the spread?
Oh, goodness.
You got to stay 6 feet apart unless you're sitting down eating food. Then you can sit with whoever you want.
Right, because the COVID will stay floating above your head.
I was cracking. Yeah, somebody sent me the Thanksgiving parameters that were put out by Gabbing Nuisance.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. During the COVID scam. You can only meet for this long, and you have to be outside, and you only have this many people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Did that end up being true?
Nope.
Well.
And then we find out that they kind of just pulled that stuff out of their ears.
This guy who's quoting scripture, did he end up being right?
No, not at all.
People are wrong regularly. Yeah. Almost never do we get things correctly.
And we amplify those voices because we have to fill this 24-hour news and social media cycle. And it's just
when you make an absolute statement, it's almost absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that was an absolute statement.
That's right. That's right. I just remember Al Gore's movie, The Inconvenient Truth, and suddenly here we are.
Yeah. I had somebody pontificating about how terrible it is right now with the current administration and tariffs, and it's killing our economy. And I was like, oh, really?
Mm.
Wow, that sounds terrible. Like, what do you mean? Well, we're losing jobs, and now companies, if they want to do, because of the tariffs, they gotta have factories here in the United States. Were any of them doing that? Yeah, there's a bunch of companies that have to bring their factories here because they can't do it overseas. Oh, when they open a factory over here, do they have to employ people? Well, yeah. So is that creating jobs that will help the economy? And it was almost like they turned to a dog when you play a high pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I, rather than pick a side, I was saying, well, I'm hoping if one thing comes out of these tariffs, we just get more of some jobs
mm-hmm.
brought back here. And if that happens, then that's great. And I don't care who gets credit.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, well, it's because Biden laid the foundation.
Yeah, I love that.
Whatever. I don't care.
Well, I want to get to this Emma Watson story because it's kind of funky. Emma Watson has redefined what it means to be single with a new relationship status that challenges tradition and sparks a broader conversation about independence and identity. Public figure is increasingly reshaping the language around love, breakups, and solitude.
Wait, she gets to redefine?
Yeah, we'll get to
everything.
It. Yeah, hang on. One of the most memorable examples came in 2014.
All hail Queen Emma.
That's right. When Gwyneth Paltrow introduced the now famous term.
No, don't.
Conscious uncoupling for instead of divorce.
Oh, okay. That's better than I thought what you were going to share.
I know what you thought.
Yeah, don't go there.
Now, Emma Watson is making headlines for her own reframing on how we talk about being single. The Harry Potter star has says she rejects the term single and introduced a new one. She says, I never believed the whole I'm happily single spiel, the now 35-year-old actor said. It took me a long time, but I'm very happy being single. I call it self-partnered.
Ew. You've eliminated the need for someone else in a relationship.
Well, she is 35, so, I mean, what are her chances now? I mean, she's on the way to slamming into the wall. She's a hyper-feminist. I mean, she's not doesn't exactly have guys lined up to wife her up, you know. So now she proudly identifies as self-partnered. She's not ruling out romance altogether. In fact, she's confirmed she's dipping her toe in the dating pool. Not one specific person, she says, but I'm going out on dates.
Okay, so that's a total contradiction.
I guess.
You're talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Yeah.
I was kind of excited about the whole idea of her staying single because it means maybe no procreation and we won't promote this idea anymore. Right? Survival of the fittest?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to quote Darwin here?
Oh, sure.
I mean, it's a science thing.
Yeah, why not?
Right? But what guy's going to want to start a relationship with somebody who thinks like this?
Yeah. I just want to know if she screams out her own name during sex. Is that what she does?
Ew. Ew.
California-based clinical psychologist Carla Marie Manley also supports Watson's terminology. She says self-partnering focuses on the ideal of being happy and complete as a solo individual. A self-partnered person would feel whole and fulfilled within the self and does not feel compelled to seek fulfillment through having another person as a partner.
There's so many things wrong with this.
I know, because where do you want to start?
Well, I'll start just with the idea that we're pack animals.
Yeah.
We are built for relationship.
True.
None of us are self-sufficient on our own.
Yeah. And you don't need a label in order to feel happy or fulfilled or whatever the terminology is. I mean, it's like...
Well,
single or not, that's
the one so far. The one part that makes sense to me is that she has labeled it properly by putting the word self in the title.
Yeah,
because self is now the focus. Self is most important. The world revolves around me. To thy own self be true.
Yeah,
that's the also the basic tenet of Satanism.
Sure.
Which I think is the opposite direction that we want to go.
Yeah.
Where you become most important, you define the terminology, you make the rules. You leave no room for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's self-fulfilling prophecy in a lot of ways. And I think you're going to end up unfulfilled because we get great things out of interactions with other people. We see holes that we miss. We our shortcomings have a way of being covered when you have another person around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all joking aside, my wife has pointed out things to me so many different times to where it's like, wow, I'm glad she's here explaining that, or she noticed something different than I noticed. We need each other, period.
Mm-hmm.
When you start doing on this isolationist thing, you're going to get what you ask for.
Yeah.
You will end up alone and sad.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you come across these weird ideologies, false truths, inaccuracies at the nicest way of saying it,
mm-hmm.
that are totally irrational, and they're slippery slope. They're going to end you up in the wrong place.
Well,
I mean, you might end up in like a class at Harvard and coach is teaching you in drag. I mean, this is where this leads to.
Yeah, to a co-teaching with Lahore Vajistan.
Oh, coach, you're back.
Oh, hey, look who's here.
Yeah, but my mic, is it on? Yeah, there it is.
You're all set. Oh, yeah. I told you I'd have you all set up. Yeah, but Emma Watson's just weird. And this is just more weird coming out of her. So
you look pretty good. You look pretty normal.
Yeah, you got all the makeup off and
yeah.
So what lies have you been telling about me while I've been gone?
We've been talking about airlines and Emma Watson and all kinds of different stuff. Yeah,
wow. UFC fighters who think Trump is the Antichrist. I mean,
it's, who's that?
Oh, they're quoting scripture.
This knucklehead.
Totally inaccurately and without any context.
Bryce Mitchell, a.k.a. Thug Nasty.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So. Oh, well. Good. Well, sounds like I shouldn't know him.
You're here just in time for us to
hit the break,
do the final segment.
Yeah, no, you know what? Hey, at least I made a, you know.
Yes, well, it is good to see you. Glad you could make
it. I'm bummed we're going to miss out on the Ben Stiller talks fatherhood.
Yeah, that actually was a good one. We can save that.
All right, and next week we got a teaser now.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like we're going to get to the National Guard either. So, all right.
That's right. They'll be all around us shortly.
Yes, that one we can carry over to next week as well. So, all right. Well, we're coming back with the post-game wrap-up, women behaving badly in Coach's Corner. Back after this.
Yeah, there's no Coach's Corner.
No Coach's Corner. No,
dude, I've been tied up.
All right.
I'm just making an appearance.
Was that a literal statement? Yep.
No,
it wasn't. Okay, good. Actually, all right. I don't know where you've been and what you've been doing. I have ideas about where you've been and what you've been doing.
Well, you'd be wrong.
Okay.
Good. I can tell just by the look in your eye. Just by the look in your eye.
We had almost as much fun without you here as we do when you are here.
Wow.
So.
Wow. How should I take that?
I don't know.
Not well.
I think as a suggestion, listen to the show.
Well, no, you know I will.
After the break.
All right. Back after this. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. We're into our final segment here. We have a great women behaving badly today.
Yeah, you use that word great.
No, it's a good one.
You pair it with women behaving badly. It's a contradiction.
No, it's not. We're going to Massachusetts this time. Tewksbury, Massachusetts. A woman facing a slew of charges after allegedly unleashing chaos at a market basket on Main Street by assaulting employees and police officers before vandalizing her holding cell. According to the Tewksbury police, 54-year-old Kristen Hartman drove drunk to the store on Tuesday, allegedly shoving staff, ramming a shopping cart into an employee, and hitting and kicking officers during her arrest. Once in custody, police said Hartman intentionally vomited on the cell floor and attempted to clog the toilet using her prison-issued shoes and a roll of toilet paper. So, Kristen Hartman of Tewksbury, Massachusetts, congratulations. You are this week's winner of the Women Behaving Badly Award.
Behaving badly, yes. Was any of that great?
It's funny. It's funny.
Wow.
It's the vomiting that gets me. You know,
I'm gonna
make this as difficult as possible for everybody around me.
Let's hope that she gets help. My goodness. Well, we're dad joke free because we're Ziggy free.
I could look one up if you want.
Well, today's post game report is brought to you by Scott's Third Tee. T today stands for truth. Everybody keeps spouting off what they think or claim is truth. One of the safest bets you can make is if somebody tells you something is true, question it. Because methinks they protest too loudly. You're trying to sell something and we see if it's true. We'll see if it's true happens later. And I also want to rebut this guy, Knucklehead, who's quoting Revelation. You got to go read it. I'll tell you what, you got to go read something else first. Before you read Revelation, you got to read the rest of the Bible. I already said that, right? Mm-hmm. But I was looking this up. John 8, verses 31, 32. It's that famous, you shall know the truth and then truth shall set you free, right? And if you don't do the shalls, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It says will. It doesn't say you know the truth. No one should ever assume they know the truth. Truth gets explained later when you find out in the future that something actually played out mm-hmm. the way you thought it was going to play out. But well, you know what leads up right before that? Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth, according to the Bible that he was quoting and this revelation prediction.
One verse in Revelation, yeah.
Yeah, but if that's your source and you want to reference that, then you got to reference the whole thing. And what's the context? Because according to the Bible, truth comes from God or Christ, not just your interpretation of some analogy from mm-hmm. the last book. It's you read the last chapter, you want to tell me the whole story?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I get it.
All right. Can I get off my soapbox now?
You sure can.
Okay.
All right. So here's our dad joke today. Why did the jaguar eat the tightrope walker?
I have no idea where this is
going. Why did the jaguar eat the tightrope walker? It was craving a well-balanced meal.
Okay. You have successfully channeled Ziggy. Well played. No, that was much greater than your behaving badly.
Oh, come on. No, it wasn't. I mean, she threw up on the floor and clogged her toilet. That's great.
You can't clog a toilet with a shoe. Anybody with the brain could tell you that.
But she just caused a disruption and just made it difficult for the officers that were there to keep her in prison for however long she was there.
Yeah. Drunk out of her mind.
That's right.
Let's not hold her accountable for stuff she did when she's all compromised like that.
So, Coach, any nothing? No final thoughts?
Nope.
Okay.
We're glad you made it back.
Honestly, I didn't hear enough to have any final thoughts.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, just thoughts on anything.
Hey, I made it at the last minute. At least I made a showing.
Yes. Yep. Well,
just real quick.
Sure.
Do you think that Trump is the Antichrist from the Book of Revelation?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, see, there you go. You covered the when you listen, you'll there you go. You fit right
my
in.
Goodness. All
right. And we got audio, too.
You know.
I know.
Gee, I mean, come on. It's funny. I actually unfriended a bunch of people this week, old friends that I haven't talked to in a long time.
Yeah.
That I didn't realize were libtards. And they are. And it's like, you know, the kings, no kings rallies and all this stuff. Yeah. If there was a king and if there was if we were going through all these things that they're wringing their hands and lamenting about, you wouldn't be able to say it or have it mm-hmm. or have your stupid rally.
Mm-hmm. No, all those people would be rounded up and no one would see them again.
It wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just an absolute. I know. Oxymoron.
Exactly.
It's just so stupid.
You know, there's a line in the Book of Judges that actually applies to this. It said, and Israel had no king, and every man did what was right in his own eyes.
That's what they want.
Rather than us having no king, we're more like the second phrase. Everybody's just doing whatever's right in their own eyes. And that book does not go well. Mm-hmm. And that's the point of that phrase in that book. All so there you go. Another biblical reference for our UFC guy.
Well, we'll see you next week. Full show archive at briandrakebooks.com. Time for Mary to throw her hat in the air.
Y'all be good to each other.
You're gonna make it after all.
Meow.